Kristen and our hosts, thank you so very, very much. Upon the receipt of this remarkable invitation, I was struck by a thought that occurs to me often on such occasions, which was, who canceled? But whoever it was, I'm grateful to them. They made this opportunity available to me. I'd like to point out that I've come halfway around the world to be with you today. I'd like to, but that wouldn't be true, because I'm really here with a group of my fellow citizens to visit with Chinese business leaders who might be prepared to come to America's best environment for foreign direct investment, the number one state in foreign direct investment in recent years. And I'll spare you the slideshow to which so many folks here are being subjected right now, but I would like to thank Kristen for pointing out that our state has risen rapidly to the top of all lists, everything, Forbes, Fortune, CEO Magazine, Site Selectors of America, CNBC, as a place of low cost, excellent infrastructure and location, a very pro-growth outlook in terms of public policy. By the way, we are currently at least paying our bills without raising taxes. If your business sells something in the state of Indiana or you're due a tax refund, you'll actually get a check and not an IOU. And we intend to do all we can to keep it this way in the interest of continuing to build, as we often say, the best sandbox in America for investors from anywhere, most particularly, we hope, from Asia and from other dynamic economies of this world. And I say all that not purely to be opportunistic, although that agenda is obvious, but also because I think the subject of macroeconomic growth and how we generate it in our nation and all nations for that matter is absolutely inseparably linked to the subject of this conference. Let me just try to validate that contention just in a few moments here. Let me give you a little report about our state of Indiana, 2.2% of America. We are enthusiastic about what are now categorized as green energy or green technologies. And we are striving hard to be a leader in that respect, I think, with some success. We've become a leader almost overnight in biofuels from a flat-footed start 4 years ago. We now have we're a top four or five producer in ethanol. The largest biodiesel plant in the hemisphere is operating in our state. We've made that a point of emphasis. Last year, we were the fastest growing state among the 50 in wind power. And we'll have probably 3,000 megawatts of hypothetical capacity, theoretical, I should say, rated capacity within another year or so. The world's first integrated gasification combined cycle electrical plant, clean coal electrical plant at scale, is under construction in southern Indiana right now. It will have the capacity, if the world moves this way, for the sequestration of CO2. We happen to sit on top of very favorable geological structures for burying the gas if that's ruled necessary or appropriate. And not far from there, the world's first new generation substitute natural gas plant is being constructed, once again, to gasify the coal on the ground, no emissions essentially, and convert it into natural gas. We've made a very creative set of public policies have, in essence, assured the market for that gas through the utilities of our state. I met some very nice folks from the NRDC outside. I invited them, and I invite any of you to come see one of many, but probably America's premier self-sustaining dairy farm. 30,000 cows being milked very productively and extremely humanely in an almost complete, soon to be complete, self-sustaining cycle in which electricity, methane, ethanol, all being produced on the ground, and eventually all the natural fertilizer to replace any synthetic fertilizer. Our state policy favors a renewable portfolio. We have already established one-stop permitting and cost recovery for the infrastructure necessary to transport green power from sometimes remote locations. We are excited and we are committed. We expect to be in the first rank in terms of that periphery of activity we call green jobs. We have been an electrical and electronics capital for many decades because of the concentration of the auto industry in our state. Already two or three electric car companies are setting up shop, battery companies likewise, to take advantage of the human talent that's present in Indiana. Makers of turbines, makers of gears for gearboxes for turbines, and frames for windmills have come to our state to take advantage of the low costs and location and infrastructure that we have. Our basic summation for Asian audiences typically is Midwest quality, Midwest access, Sunbelt prices. Now that's Indiana, and it applies to green energy companies as much as to any. And now, I say all these things in order to make another point, which open to debate, and certainly one benefit of this meeting might be that I'll hear some. But we in Indiana like to think of ourselves as possessed of that American trait called common sense, and we try to bring it to this discussion too. For all our enthusiasm, we believe there's a heavy note of realism that has to be a part of any discussion, certainly any plans that affect us. There are certain wishfulness or even fantasies which we're not yet prepared to indulge. Indiana is the most manufacturing intensive state in America. It's not Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio. Manufacturing jobs over total, manufacturing state product over total, we are first. We're the leaders at number one in steel. Our market share has risen from sixth to third in automotive. Until the latest recession, we were actually holding our own in manufacturing jobs and rising in output while others were sinking. We are also, we are consequently a state that is energy intensive. And low energy costs are a point of competitive advantage, necessary competitive advantage for us. Why are our energy costs low? Because they're coming from coal. And while, as I illustrated, we are eager to continually improve the environmental, and lower the environmental impact of using that coal, we're not prepared to abandon it or see it ruled out of bounds. But without a heck of a good reason in national policy. And we are now, after decades of decline, a state of less than the average national income. So strong in manufacturing, in need of large amounts of affordable energy, most of that from coal, and trying to catch up in income. It sounds a little like China to me, in a different in a different context. That being the case, again, we ask for some realism in this debate. That we are excited about green jobs. I already illustrated we're chasing them everywhere we can. We are enabling them, I think, as creatively as any state I've seen. But there are not enough of them by our count, not near enough of them to replace one for one the jobs that are either have been lost or are at risk. They're not of high enough quality. The analyses are now pretty clear. When you shear away the government clerks and the janitors and so forth, there are some great jobs here and some important new sectors, but we at least have not seen any evidence that they should be sought at the expense of the traditional economy or the traditional energy that powers that economy. They don't pay for themselves. It's no revelation to say that they are not economic, for now at least. In most cases, they require large public subsidies. There's going to have to be a strong economy to pay those subsidies, or we'll be chasing our tail in a very self-defeating way. And in particular, anti-growth policies, policies as we see it of impoverishment, are the fastest way I know to undo the green energy revolution. So our view from Indiana is that a strong and sustained period of national economic growth is absolutely essential for many reasons, but absolutely essential to our hopes for a green energy revolution or at least transformation over the course of time. Our outlook toward green energy is yes and, of course, but also, that it must be incremental and it must be seen as synergistic, symbiotic with policies that sustain, nurture, and restore a growing national economy. And we just have to be extremely careful in our zeal for this, for the world that it might eventually come, not to undo the means, the ways and means of paying for it to get from here to there. So let me say that, describe our attitude in Indiana as one of enthusiasm, I would say bridled as opposed to unbridled enthusiasm, but my enthusiasm for the chance to be with you here today truly is without limit. Thank you very much.